Hey everyone, before we get to the show today, I want to let you know about some of what's going on at ProWrestling.net. Right now you can read Zach Zimmerman's NXT review, John Moore's Lucha Underground review. You can also read reviews of all the major TV shows over the last week. Also, Sunday night, live coverage of the Extreme Rules WWE Network special event. Jason Powell's going to have you covered there, and ProWrestling.net members are going to listen to Jason Powell and Jake Barnett review the show pretty much right after the show. That's going to be up within hours of the show ending for ProWrestling.net members, and of course in time for your Monday commute. If you want to check out ProWrestling.net membership, see what we're talking about. $7.50 a month if you just want to try it out for a month, or $5.50 a month if you want to take the annual option. Go to ProWrestling.net, click the membership link, and you can sign up in a matter of seconds. You also get ad-free access to the site and tons of other cool stuff. We believe in it. Actually, all of the staffers at the site, aside from Jason, who started the site, were members before we came on staff, so we believe in the product. We know it's a good thing, and we want you guys to try it out. Also, if you guys want to do us a favor beyond that, leave us a review on iTunes. Tell your friends about us. Retweet the podcast link when Jason puts it out there. Any of those things help to get the word out about this ProWrestling.net daily podcast that we really enjoy doing. Now, on with the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will. He's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at @itswilltime and at @BarnettJake. On today's show, Emma's injury, Dana Brooke's debut match, and the state of the WWE Women's Division. So, Jake, depressing news this week. Evil Emma is injured. And I don't know, this particularly sounds evil to me. Not her getting injured, but or not her herself, but her getting injured seems like a work of absolute dastardly evil, and I'm very upset about it.
I think everybody should be. I mean, I was really looking forward to her and Dana Brooke getting a chance to kind of show off their act on the main roster. And I think, you know, while Emma is the stronger of the two independently as a character, I think they do work very well together, and there is something more there than the sum of their parts. And so it's a bummer that you know, that Emma's hurt, and that Dana, you know, is going to have to forge ahead on her own, because I do think that they're, you know, there was stuff that she could have learned working with Emma together on the main roster that perhaps she'll have to try to pick up on her own. And I, you know, I don't know if Dana is necessarily who I would have picked, you know, to be ready for a main roster debut without having, you know, Emma there and that built in chemistry that they had already built in NXT. So you know, I'm bummed out about it. I think back injuries are terrible. I mean, it's hard to know the timeline for her return until, you know, they actually get in there and repair. I think it was a bulging disc in her back. And so, you know, recovery can be tough. I mean, you can talk to, and maybe Jason already will talk about this, but his, you know, he's had back surgery before, and he knows well about how, you know, how much pain there is involved and how difficult the you know, the physical therapy can be. I mean, it's a difficult thing to come back from, even though it might not seem, you know, a bulging disc isn't nearly as serious as some of the other like neck injuries, for instance, that other stars have had to come back from. So it's a huge setback, and hopefully they're, you know, they're willing to, you know, slot her back right where she was when she gets ready to come back, because she had done a wonderful job reinventing herself as a character, and it seemed like she was on her way to better things.
Yeah, she is a great example of someone who seemed to take the getting moved back down to NXT situation as a motivation. She was called up. It was going to be huge, but then it wasn't, and she was just kind of cast aside on the main roster, put back down in NXT, and while I think some wrestlers would get bitter, Emma seemed to work harder, develop a better character, and say, like, no, we're going to be, I'm going to be much better because this happened, and she was, and has been, and it kind of sucks that right as it looked like they were about to do something big with her, with the Dana Brooke partnership, she's gone. Where does this leave Dana Brooke? We saw Dana Brooke beat Becky Lynch on Monday Night's Raw. That kind of amazed me, given how many women there are on the roster. And Becky is probably your second most popular woman on that roster, maybe first. I mean, Becky is a top woman in WWE or a top superstar in that division, and she is she's getting beat by Dana Brooke 1 week in. What did you think of that?
I wasn't surprised by it, really. I don't know how you have Becky Lynch beat Dana Brooke clean and still, maintain that, she's a strong new character. It's a difficult thing because it's like, well, you don't really want to have Becky lose week after week, but I think her character is far more resilient to losses than Dana Brooke's would be.
Yeah.
And so...
And they don't have a ton of baby faces on that roster.
Yeah. So, Becky is just kind of put in that position. I hope they get Sasha Banks back soon. Maybe that's after this Natalya feud that she'll be coming back to the main roster on television. I know she's been on house shows and whatnot. So, we could use a dose of Sasha, because I think one thing that they've done poorly since WrestleMania, since they had to pivot to Natalya and Charlotte right away, is that they've sort of let Becky and Sasha fall away from freshness in people's minds. And I think all three of those women did a fantastic job at getting that match at WrestleMania over, to the point where people were really optimistic about where the women's division was going post WrestleMania. And I don't want to insult Natty as a talent, because I think she is extremely talented, but I just don't think that she's the future of the division by any stretch. And so, putting her in that post-WrestleMania feud with Charlotte, maybe in a couple months from now, it'll all make sense, but it seemed like they had a chance to continue momentum there, and they just kind of stalled. So I have a feeling... that we'll get to bigger and better things once this is over. But it's been a somewhat of a bummer of a pit stop in the women's division since they've started that feud.
Well, and I would say overall in the women's division, that feud has kind of it's done a lot of weird things with that division, where at WrestleMania you kind of had this narrative that they stand on their own. They are major superstars. They're women. They're this. There was this really massive rebranding and messaging effort at WrestleMania that included them having the best match on the show to say, this is what WWE women are now. They are, look at how powerful, strong, and great they are. And then you get to right after WrestleMania and Natty's there, and Natty needs Brett to come in, and it's this story where now you've got Bret Hart being you've got the story being almost more about Bret Hart and Ric Flair than it is about Natalya, and that to me is a major issue. That to me, and even now as we look at the women, Natalya and Charlotte having their main event contract signing in the main event of Raw, that was really strange. That was really kind of weird, because it was more about Bret Hart, or more about Bret Hart and Ric Flair, and especially about Ric Flair. I'm someone who, I look at this and I go, get Ric Flair out of there. I don't want to see him. I think he drags down the division in a way that is just against what WWE is trying to brand it as. Not that he is this terrible, terrible part of that act, but I say the message when Ric Flair is out there is, this division needs Ric Flair to be important, even if WWE isn't trying to send that message. I think they are. And that is really antithetical to what the message should be. And that's, look at how great these women are.
Yeah. I thought that segment on Monday was bizarre in a couple of different ways. Like you get the impression by watching Ric Flair that it's really impossible for him not to be Ric Flair, Like there's no, I absolutely, you listen to Ric Flair, whether it's on his podcast or, in interviews or, away from the ring, where, it's absolutely obvious that he adores his daughter and wants nothing but the best of things for her. And I sympathize with that emotionally, because I'm in very much the same place. But, his appearances in the ring, whether he intends to do so or not, oftentimes are so, you know, Ric Flair, it's so over the top that he overshadows what Charlotte is trying to do. And the same thing goes for, you know, bringing in Bret Hart, because as much of a beloved longtime personality that Natty is, you know, she's not as popular as her uncle was or ever will, you know, and she probably never will be. And so I'm, you know, it's a difficult situation because I understand what WWE was trying to do, you know, by adding importance to this feud by, you know, making it feel like major superstars are invested in it through their family connections. But in the end, I think it more or less just took away from what the two women were trying to do by making it somewhat of a Legends circus show. And that's unfortunate. And I hope the message that WWE got from this, just based on the reactions that I've seen online, you know, mostly through Twitter and you know, you read other message boards and things like that, is that people are kind of in the same boat where they're like, I think this would have been better without him. And I hope that WWE picks up on that. And going forward, they focus on this division being about the championship and the personalities and the women standing on their own. Because I really do think WrestleMania, you know, was a hint at what the future could look like and what it should look like, because people were into that and wanted to see more of it.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. People were into this. People at WrestleMania, and especially right after, were excited. And the Natty feud, and I would say more than just the Natty-Charlotte feud, because I don't think the feud's been all bad, although their match at the last pay-per-view was rough. The Natty feud, plus the lack of other things happening in the division, all of that has really hurt things. After WrestleMania, I said, there should be 2 to 3 women's matches per pay-per-view. Like, you start, or towards per network special, whatever we're calling those. Jason needs to tell us how we're branding those. We should have 2 to 3 of women's matches per show. That's, and I think that's minimum. I think it's absolutely doable. Tell enough stories in that division that there's someone coming up, there's someone there's someone on their way down, and there's a champion. Like, that all of those things are happening, and that there is momentum and movement there. And what we've seen, despite the fact that WWE has a ton of women on their roster, I mean, going through these roster evals with Jason has been really crazy, because there are like 18 women listed on the roster right now, 18 wrestling women. This isn't like Stephanie or the announcers or anything. This is wrestling women. And yeah, 2 of them are Bellas, one's retired, and one's dealing with a neck injury. But still, that now you're left with 16 who could be a part of something. And we see maybe 4 on a weekly basis on TV. And that is a serious major issue.
Well, they have 5 hours of TV time. I mean, yeah. It's not like they're struggling, you know, to... it's not like they have a glut of people to fill the time with. I mean,
yeah,
they're extending segments sometimes. You know, we have multiple tag matches on one episode of Raw or SmackDown that are both 10, 15 minutes or more. I mean, if you are able to use more of that time for getting other characters on the show, I think people would be fine with 2 10-minute tag matches if they got you know, another women's match, or they were able to fit somebody else on the show. It seems like we get filler every week, and then, you know, people are kind of left wondering, well, why wasn't this person on the show, or why wasn't that person on the show, or why didn't we get a follow-up on that segment?
Hours at this point of TV time into the Golden Truth, and they aren't putting that effort into a secondary story in their women's division. It's mind-numbing. It doesn't even blow my mind. It just makes my mind want to shut off and go to sleep.
Yeah, I think it's a bit bizarre. You know, it's hard to explain rationally. I mean, it's just the whims of, you know, the people booking the show. And I'm not entirely certain, you know, if they're, you know, they're just waiting for the existing feud to be over before they sort of march forward. I mean, it seems like we do get a fair amount of, you know, of Becky Lynch on TV every week, even though she's not in the main event picture.
Yeah.
And her feud with Emma, you know, was getting at least a segment on Raw and somewhat of a follow up on SmackDown. And they're doing the same now with Dana Brooke. They had a match last week on on SmackDown and again on Raw. And now it sounds like they're having, you know, another women's match with them involved on SmackDown again. So, I mean, there is some stuff happening, but it's like, where are all these other women and where do they fit into this picture? You know, there is a definite lack of backstage segments and other things involving, you know, these other people. You'd think that WWE had just forgotten they exist, even though, you know, you see them active on house shows and things, and they're just not getting the TV time.
It's really strange, and I think WWE would be wise to use these women in more roles on the show. I think there's absolutely room for that. I know they have a massive roster and all of that, as we talked about on yesterday's show, with the giant, very talented roster WWE currently has. And as Jason and I are talking about in the roster evaluations that we thankfully, hopefully by the time people are listening to this, have finished. But there's still so much more that can be done, and much, much more that has been done that can be done with the women's side of things. Anything to add? How are you feeling about Dana Brooke at this point now? How do you think she's going to do without Emma?
You know, I think her character shows some promise. You know, she's loud, she's obnoxious, she's, you know, the former bodybuilder who's, you know, perhaps a little bit overconfident. I think it can work as a character. I think she's got to, you know, I guess, know when to be loud and obnoxious instead of just turning it up to 11 all the time. She has the same sort of tone issues that Charlotte has, where, you know, when she's excited, she doesn't modulate and emphasize. She just gets the volume way up, and it stays there constantly throughout, you know, her entire talking segment. So I, you know, maybe that's an issue that they can work on with her. And I'm sure it's something that she, you know, she would have picked up from Emma if they had stuck together, because I think Emma does subtlety really well, whereas some of the other women don't. But you know, I think, you know, she'll do fine until they find a permanent place for her. I hope, you know, they actually continue with whatever plans they had. You know, it would be sad to see her her character get abandoned on TV after a short time and perhaps move back to NXT waiting for something else to do, because I think there is a lot of promise there. It's just a matter of, you know, maybe coaching her and executing a little bit better, because I think she, you know, she did show a little bit of a clumsy streak in the ring on Monday, and that's something they'll need to iron out too.
Yeah, and I think that's something that can be ironed out on the road as you get into house shows and everything. She can definitely, you know, be in the heel corner and learn a little bit and help get rid of that clumsy streak, get coached and everything on that note. But I'm with you. I think Dana Brooke has a lot of potential. Her character is very well developed and very, very exciting. So I think even without Emma, she's going to have a good she's going to have a good rookie year, hopefully. With that, I think we'll wrap it up. Thank you, Jake, for joining me today, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!